Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I finally got that timing down right. Really did cut it close though. First of all, welcome to the third edition of the Iron Jaw Podcast. It is such a big hit. The audio sports coverage Facebook page. I'm in business with my friend Caleb Cooper. He's supposed to start this Hoop Scoop any day now. I came up with the name, by the way. Don't want him to take credit for it. And we're getting a lot of support from my friends, from my family, and from all over the world. Several states. We also have a couple listeners in Canada today. Shout out to my friends Joey and Spencer. Right now I'm supposed to go into the conference championship games. And oh, by the way, before I start, I would also like to give a special shout out to my friend Valley Harbor. Was debating whether I'd say Halle Varber or Valley Harbor. She wanted me to say and a lot, so I'm going to do the best I can. Would like to do with a little skit segments, you know, organize it a little bit better. So what I'm going to do now is just start smooth, talk about what's going around in the NFL, NBA, sports world. Big news, Kobe Bryant tore his rotator cuff this week, and they expect him to be out the rest of the season. They kind of waited for that further, like, timetable, until he got further examination, I should say. You know, I really believe that now is the time to start tanking. You know, Adam Silver doesn't believe there's tanking in the NBA, but the Tankadelphia 76ers would beg a differ. And the Lakers, like, there's a lot of talk. They should start training, like, some of their good guys, get, you know, younger guys, D-League, you know, get them experience. And then go grab your top five pick. I would also like to make it clear to everyone that if the Lakers do not secure a top five draft pick, it goes to Phoenix. And the Suns are in contention in the West. It's deep. The Suns would be like the fourth or fifth seed out in the East. So, and they're on the verge of missing the playoffs. Just the eighth seed. A lot of good competition there with the Spurs and everything. But, yeah, the Lakers really need to start thinking about their future. I do not believe that they can win another championship with Kobe Bryant there. And Kobe's not going to retire, folks. Kobe wants that money. Next year, I know I'm into the NBA too deep right now, but next year Kobe would be set to be paid the highest in the National Basketball Association. For those of you who don't keep up with the NBA, that there's still LeBron James, Kevin Durant, you know, a lot of great superstars in the NBA, and Kobe Bryant, who has played like a third of the games in the past couple years, it is mind-boggling to me how he can get to be the highest paid in the NBA right now. Also, going into the NFL a little bit, I know the Indianapolis Colts won't commit to running back Trent Richardson next year. Richardson missed the two playoff games against the Broncos and the Patriots. You know, it's really amazing to me how he went to Cleveland, third overall. They hyped him so much as the next Adrian Peterson, and he totally, like, is a bust. What was said about A. Lacy coming out after Trent Richardson? They did all because of his offensive line, you know, weight problems, and A. Lacy's been more productive than Trent Richardson can dream of right now. And with the Colts running back situation, really, really shocking to me how Trent Richardson isn't, like, there. I mean, I don't even know Hilton. I know Tipton and maybe Ahmad Bradshaw, you know, it, the Colts running back situation is so smoky right now. Also, in the headlines, the Ravens cut their defensive tackle, Terrence Cody, for their nose tackle for animal cruelty. Michael Vick was actually rumored to go to Baltimore as a backup. Does anyone else find that weird? And then they cut Terrence Cody. Maine will talk about how Michael Vick served this time. And also, before we get into the conference championship games, I would also like to do a new segment where you guys are going to love this, where Michael Davis, the Iron Jaw, was wrong. Now, I'm looking at my notes from last podcast where I predicted Seattle would win against Green Bay 29-20. It was a lot closer than that. Final score was 28-22 in overtime, and Seattle had to mount a comeback victory for the ages. And we're going to get into that shortly, but they won 29-20. I don't know if I can count that as wrong, as it is very, very hard to think about it, but very hard to think how 6 and 9 points, you know, but I thought Seattle had that in the bag and would dominate, and they really didn't until like 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And also the Colts and the Patriots, I predicted last week that the Patriots would win 38-27. I thought Andrew Luck would have a really good day, but it wouldn't be enough for Julian Edelman to not overcome. Yeah, that's right, Julian Edelman. I predicted 3 touchdowns. All 3 Braves touchdowns go to Edelman. Now, Brady had 3 touchdowns, but not one went to Julian Edelman. So, and one did go to Rob Gronkowski, so I'd also like to shout out to Mr. Mann for getting one of those right. He thought Gronk would catch a touchdown pass. I didn't think. But then again, that bold prediction was supposed to be bold. You hardly get bold predictions right. The Patriots end up winning 45-7 and absolutely stomped the Indianapolis Colts. So what I would like to talk about right now is the Colts and the Patriots. You know, I watched the Seahawks game again, and then I watched the Patriots and the Colts. After seeing Seattle and Green Bay, I thought I would steal 25 minutes of this 30-minute podcast, just Seattle and Green Bay, or actually just those 3 minutes plus overtime. Colts and Patriots, it shocked me. I knew who was winning these games. These outcomes were determined before the opening kickoff of each. The Patriots going on, Seattle going on. I'm not a conspiracy theorist to say that the NFL's rigged. I just knew these teams weren't going to lose. Now, how did they win? Well, we obviously have to talk about Tom Brady, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns, you know, 23 of 35. I think he went 9 for 9 at one point, maybe the first or second half. I couldn't find it. And Tom Brady actually had the best performance of any quarterback playing last weekend. On the other side, Andrew Luck had 12 completions on 33 attempts, 6 yards, no touchdowns, which completely surprised me, and a couple picks. So the Colts' only touchdown was rushing by Tipton, Mr. Zerline Tipton. Oh, and by the way, that Colts running back is Daniel Herron. Again, not a good situation there. But the big story is the Deflategate. Now, for people saying the Patriots should be out of the Super Bowl and Colts go on, that's not happening. Nice though. That's a nice punishment. In a good world, but it's not happening. The Patriots are playing in the Super Bowl. They'll lose to Seattle. I'm not supposed to give my prediction out yet, so I'll hold on the details with the predicted score and the X factor. But the Patriots are losing the Super Bowl. The Patriots were winning this game against the Colts. But was it really because of Deflategate? Now, let's look at it this way. Brady threw 3 touchdowns. You take those 3 touchdowns away. Let's say he throws no touchdowns with an officially inflated ball. You know, they still have to stop LeGarrette Blount. 30 carries, 148 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So, when you factor that in, Blount's touchdowns alone makes this 21-7, and that field goal in, you know, 24-7. Patriots move on. So, what I'd really love to stress right here is everyone is focused on how should the Patriots be punished? How should Bill Belichick be punished? And there's a lot of talk about Sean Payton when they had that bounty scandal in New Orleans not too long ago. Greg Williams had his team try to take out players, you know, like Brett Favre, like Kurt Warner. And Sean Payton got to spend an entire season, you know, for doing that during the playoffs. And what I find weird is that was Sean Payton's first offense. And Bill Belichick, as smart as he is at getting his team far, how do you not suspend Belichick an entire season for this? It's beyond me. This is not his first offense. Many will remember Spygate. If there is something here, I would really, really want the hammer to be put down on Bill Belichick. Now, do I expect it to happen? No. I don't expect it to happen. Because Bill Belichick is considered the best coach in the NFL right now. I think him and McCarthy are overrated. Belichick's smart. He's a genius, but he's overrated. Heading in the regular season, Belichick and McCarthy for the Packers were 2 of the 3 who hadn't won coaches' challenges all regular season long. You know, you could turn around and go see Jason Garrett or Gus Bradley or Ron Rivera even, and they miss one coach's challenge and everyone thinks they're terrible. Belichick and McCarthy didn't win one the entire season. Still got their team to the championship games on the conference side. Belichick's actually going to the Super Bowl, but be shocked if they suspend him for a year, and I'd also be disappointed if they just hand them the rumored $25,000 fine and a loss of a draft pick. You know, and loss of a draft pick, one draft pick. And I would hope it would be first round or second round, but you're punishing the organization, but you're also punishing a kid who would love to play at New England by all the Deflategate stuff. So I'm not behind draft pick losses. I'm behind suspending the people responsible. Bill Belichick. I want to make this clear before I move on to the Seahawks and Packers game. Many will argue that Bill Belichick didn't deflate the ball, so he shouldn't be he shouldn't be suspended an entire year. Sean Payton was the head coach of the Saints and was suspended all year just for being the head coach. And even with no knowledge of what Coach Williams was doing, Payton was suspended an entire year. Let's try to soak that in. So even if Belichick didn't deflate the balls himself, he's still the head coach and he's responsible. So the fair thing to do as anyone as commissioner except Roger Goodell, because he never does the fair thing. He never has a policy. He just goes with the flow, as I do with my first podcast, and he has a double standard for everything. Belichick needs to be suspended. Won't, but he needs to. And this leaves the Colts with offseason aspirations. I'm not sold on their defense, but it'll be okay. They can go after free agency. On the offensive side, they have to either draft offensive line or running back, depending if they think a running back is worth a first-round pick. If not, you know, trade back to about the 40th pick and take a running back. You know, there's a lot of good running backs out there. Or they could go after DeMarco Murray. I think DeMarco Murray is a perfect fit for the Colts. The Colts have the cap space to pay for him. He's rumored to want $10 million a year. Wow. I don't think he's worth that much, though he fought for extra yards every time, so it shouldn't be all on the offensive line. Offensive line helps a lot, especially with the quarterback. The Colts don't have an offensive line, but Murray could still do some if he's healthy. I just don't see him being worth $10 million. And I'm not going to touch too much on this, but, you know, why take more money when you know you have a good thing going with a championship contender? You know, what do you want more, a championship ring that will last forever or money that you will blow through? It doesn't make sense to me. Patriots move on. Their defense didn't stand out much at all. But Julian Edelman did. 9 catches, 98 yards, no touchdowns. Those went to Gronkowski, Devlin, and the left tackle, Nate Solder. So I shouldn't be penalized for that bold prediction if you're hearing what I'm saying. Patriots move on 45-7. Have about 11 and a half minutes. So how am I going to fit in the Packers and Seahawks? I don't know. I will try. But I'm also allowing you to call in. This is the first time I'm going to ask you to call in. If you can aim for about the 4-minute mark, I will try to let you know when that is. 4 or 5 minutes left, which is about 6-7 minutes. The guest call-in where you can talk to me on this podcast live is 347-989-0920. So if I see you after I'm done talking with the Packers and Seahawks or while I'm doing it, but at a stopping point, I will accept your call and do it. So I'd really like you to, because I have yet to test this out. I do know that Caleb Cooper, my friend, tried to call, but I couldn't get to him in enough time. But the Packers and Seahawks, wow. First of all, can I say how big of a fan I am of Russell Wilson? 4 interceptions, a touchdown, 209 yards. Touchdown came in overtime. So he went 4 quarters without throwing a touchdown pass. Like, does that not speak volume of how complete the Seattle Seahawks is as a championship contender? They have a running game. You know, Marshawn Lynch carried the ball 25 times, 157 yards, a touchdown. You know, Russell Wilson ran the ball 7 times. But their defense stepped up. Bobby Wagner led the team in tackles. Jeremy Lane and Byron Maxwell, they held their own in the secondary. KJ Wright in that linebacker crew. And there are three guys that play together so well, and they fit Seattle's system incredible. They set the tone for their defense. You know, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Richard Sherman. Those guys, I don't know what everyone's beef is with Richard Sherman. I don't. I mean, to me, he has solidified himself as the best corner in the game. All due respect to Patrick Peterson and Darrell Revis' previous accomplishments. You know, Richard Sherman's the best thing going right now. And you ask any GM in the league and they want Richard Sherman. They've even modified how they draft and scout players coming up from college to fit Richard Sherman's mold. You know, long arm, you know, ball hawk. I was wondering if I was going to use that term since it's Seahawks, ball hawk, but Seahawks ball hawks, right? And Sherman is. And I honestly think that the Redskins, they use that system pretty well, drafting Bashaud Breeland. I believe he's out of Clemson. Don't hold me to that. But he's a really great corner. Long arms. He shut down Dez when the Redskins came to town in Dallas. So, by all means, Bashaud Breeland, Richard Sherman has paved the way for so many corners that are about to come up. Also, I didn't touch on this earlier. I put in X factors as Chancellor and Thomas. So as I'm talking about the safeties, they had 10 tackles combined. No pass deflections. No interceptions, though those were Maxwell's and Sherman's. But they were pretty – Cam Chancellor wasn't as big as I thought he would be, and Earl Thomas actually left with the shoulder injury and came back and played. So he wasn't as effective. He wasn't 100%. I don't think he'll be 100% for the Super Bowl, but still made a contribution. And also I had Bennett, Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, and Bruce Irvin, who had 5 quarterback hits combined versus Carolina, the 3 of them. I thought they would get to Green Bay often and early. Bennett didn't get credited for a quarterback hit, but Averill and Irving each had 2, so that's 4. You know, pretty good. Bennett was almost a non-factor, though he had a couple tackles for a loss. So, what does Green Bay do right now? I have 6 minutes left, by the way. What does Green Bay do now? I talked about what Indy should do in the offseason. Green Bay, I do not. Their offensive line's okay. I mean, I guess. I mean, you could get a tackle to help protect Rodgers. He scrambles a lot more than people give him credit for, so he's much of a danger as Colin Kaepernick or Robert Griffin III is talked about. But I really think they should go for a defense. I made a stupid assumption that the Green Bay Packers wouldn't even make the playoffs. I thought they would finish worse than Chicago and Detroit. I think they finished 3rd in the division, you know, from Minnesota, because Minnesota lost Jared Allen and they eventually would lose Adrian Peterson for much of the year. I just didn't believe in the Green Bay defense. They have Matthews, they have Pepper. Matthews is a dirty player. I just remembered I would mention this. Clay Matthews was fined for a hit on Russell Wilson. After an interception, he just leveled Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson got up I love Russell Wilson. I will get more on his perseverance later on here in a couple minutes. But let me actually tell you, Burnett, Morgan Burnett, he's in the secondary. He had two sacks. Clay Matthews had a sack. Peppers had a sack and a half. LaTroy Guayon, don't ask me, he had half a sack. So the Packers defense got pressure on the quarterback. So to me, it's all about getting that right tackle, you know, because you have no idea what's going to happen there. You know, I would highly recommend the Packers getting a corner or a defensive end, defensive tackle, something there to help. You know, you can never have too many people rushing the passers. Matthews and Peppers will obviously be a, you know, duo that will scare a lot of offensive line coaches. So I really think that, you know, Green Bay sold. I do not like their coach. That is well known. I do not like Mike McCarthy. I think he plays not to lose, and that was evident this game when they blew that quarter lead in just 3 minutes, okay? I'm looking at the box score right now, so let me tell you this. The Seahawks got the ball about 3:55. You know, I think couple seconds left. I didn't do the math right here. Russell Wilson leads the team on a 7-play, 69-yard drive. You know, down 19-7 at this point. You know, runs in, 1 yard, touchdown run. You know, puts the team down 5. And then they go for the onside kick. Obviously, you know, with 2:09 remaining. And Ball State, you know, how does he not get the top 10 play, number one? I think they were just being too nice. He received death threats. But then Marshawn Lynch ran in 24 yards, and then Russell Wilson, miracle, miraculous, to Luke Wilson to put his team up. And then Aaron Rodgers drove down the field and had Crosby kick a 48-yarder, and then Russell Wilson got the ball to start overtime, and with the new overtime rules, you have to score a touchdown to end the game. Field goal keeps it going for at least another drive, and Russell Wilson connects to Jermaine Kearse. Russell Wilson showed a lot of fight. Didn't have a good game as I thought he would, but, you know, he played when it counts. I think there's a lot of people, you know, criticizing Russell Wilson. I was, you know, throwing 4 interceptions. You know, you're lucky to win. Your defense and run game bailed you out, but that happens a lot of times. 40 seconds left. I would like to thank you for, you know, listening. I think I did much better with time. I said a lot for Valley, and I would like to just thank you for listening. I do have the Coop Scoop with my friend Caleb Cooper. He is about to start his podcast soon. I hope this weekend. So please be able to tune into that. Thank you for all the support. Like us on Facebook, Audio Sports Coverage. So thank you, and I appreciate it. And this was the Iron Jaw Podcast.